I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Two top British government officials visited Washington today. Foreign Secretary David Miliband and Defense Minister John Hutton met with their counterparts at the Pentagon and the State Department. Near the top of their agenda, the Obama administration's view of U.S. policy in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The administration is looking at everything from troop levels in Afghanistan to the idea of opening a dialogue with certain Taliban commanders. Negotiating with the Taliban seems unthinkable to former U.S. Army Supply Sergeant Kristen Rouse. She served along the Afghan-Pakistan border. Rouse doesn't have a lot of sympathy for the Taliban based on some of her own experiences in Afghanistan. She wrote about those in an op-ed piece yesterday published by The New York Times.
When I was at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan in April of 2006, we got word that there would be dozens of casualties coming into the hospital there, and then they would need assistance carrying the litters because it was this large, it's called a mass casualty. And we learned what had happened is that in a schoolyard outside of a mosque, the Taliban had launched two rockets. One rocket made a direct hit on the schoolyard of children, and another rocket hit nearby. Seven children were killed and 34 were wounded. And this was a primary school. These were very, very young children, and they were boys and girls being taught together.
What was your own role as you received these children at Bagram Air Base?
Well, because there were so few that actually came over, I was not needed. But I did go visit them, I believe, a day or two later. We walked through the hospital wards and visited with the kids that could move around. But it's just devastating to see children who are hurt by adults. These were not accidents. It's just devastating.
Did you, Kristen, gain any insight? I mean, I know that soldiers, Marines there are now engaging even more than ever before the Afghan people themselves. Did you ever find out for yourself, to your own satisfaction, why there are some people in Afghanistan, certain parts of Afghanistan, who, despite this kind of violence targeted at school children, why they would still support the Taliban over the government of Afghanistan?
Well, I think in many cases, I can't blame them. What other choices are they left with? You know, the United States has under-resourced the conflict in Afghanistan from the beginning. These regions have, I mean, just the Eastern Mountains I can speak to because I've seen it firsthand. It's unbelievably huge.
This is the area that borders Pakistan.
That's correct. And the U.S. and NATO troops must respect that border. However, the people who live there have never respected a border there. You know, even in 2006 when I was there, and we were two mountain ranges over from Pakistan, and the two nights that I stayed there, we sat there waiting for what seemed to be an imminent attack from the Taliban, who were two ridges over. They were going to come over, attack us, and then go right back.
What happened?
Fortunately, I led a charmed life while I was in Afghanistan. We were not attacked. But, you know, I woke up the second morning to, you know, a barrage of outgoing artillery fire. So the guys on base did take action.
Well, you're getting to some of the many real frustrations on the ground and dangers on the ground. And I think this is one of the reasons Barack Obama has called for talks with moderate Taliban members. I know you don't believe in negotiation. I wonder if you believe that there are moderates that the United States can successfully address.
Well, I'm not a policy expert, but I think bargaining with the bad guys just is going to create more of the same.
I'm sure you know that it was bargaining with, in some cases, paying off the bad guys, the insurgents, that helped along this surge, this military surge in Iraq, and changed things dramatically on the ground.
Right. And I had the good fortune to hear a panel at Fort Benning, Georgia, of returning infantrymen who actually were part of the beginning and the success of the Sunni awakening in Anbar province. And it was stunning to hear, you know, how they overcame some of the rough spots and how they were able to move forward and really have the really unbelievable success that they did just by reaching out. I hear that and I understand that. However, I think that, you know, because the U.S. and NATO have had to respect that Afghan border for the last 8 years, but the rogue elements, the Taliban, could sit just on the other side of that border in Pakistan and grow and flourish. What ends up inadvertently happening is that there's sort of like this trail of broken promises where, you know, U.S. forces will do a lot for people, but they won't do everything they say, or they may neglect some big projects that they promised. The end result is that it's a trail of broken promises, and it sort of mirrors what, you know, the broken promises that we've made as the American people, you know, saying, you know, in 2001, we're going to come in, we're going to liberate you Afghan people from, you know, these brutes, the Taliban, and we're going to empower women, we're going to bring business to your country, we're going to do these great things. And not all those promises have been fulfilled.
Kristen, is there a chance now, you're a first lieutenant in the Army National Guard, is there a chance that you'll be going back to Afghanistan?
There's a very good possibility. And, you know, I'm helping to prepare my unit for what I feel is an inevitability. You know, it's true that not every one of the people calling themselves the Taliban are brutal murderers. But you know what? They're fighting on that side. And in my mind, I bear no ill will toward anybody, but you know what? If you choose that side, there's a consequence for that.
All right. Former Army Supply Sergeant Kristen Rouse, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.